First and foremost, thanks for everyone for hanging around late tonight. I know there's been a lot of shocking, supposedly, news that we're not going to comment on with regards to Josh Gordon. We're not going to comment on our players' health status and anyone that's on this roster. So if there are any other questions pertaining to the draft, we're happy to answer all of those questions and to move forward.
Why not comment on health status? It's offseason, not competitive, and it doesn't really seem to engender an open relationship.
I think the regards of any player status with regards to their contract or their health, it's a private matter. And to that end, I would say that it doesn't behoove anyone if the player's not going to miss any time from any games that may be played.
Ryan, I hear what you said about Josh Gordon, but there's a report out there that you knew of this situation yesterday before you made that fourth round, that fourth pick trade. So could you comment on that?
On what?
I said on whether you knew about this situation of Josh Gordon before you made that trade.
I've opened the press conference with the idea that we're not going to comment about anything that has to do with Josh Gordon or any status of our players with regards to their health.
Why are you not commenting on Gordon? From the standpoint, everybody who follows your team, the millions of people wonder what the heck's going on.
To the end that the league has really stated what we can say and what we cannot say. So until we have definitive clarity as to what those things are, we're going to remain silent.
Did it affect how you picked?
The reason why we pick and how we pick is truly predicated on our process. We go through the board. And again, to kind of add some clarity or some insight as to how that structure is worked or oriented, we organize the players, we rank them, we stack them, we stick to it. We believe in you do the work for a reason, you take the best players available, you establish your team by going through that process and making sure you draft the best guys and how you had them ordered of who were the best players in college football.
Well, you can't comment on it. Does the Gordon situation tinge today with some disappointment? This was a big day for the Browns.
I think it still is a big day for the Browns. We picked up three good football players. We went into this draft, and we had an opportunity to acquire players, and we did just that. I mean, the first young man that we took, Joel Petonio, is going to help this football team tremendously, as well as Christian Kirksey and as well as Terrence West.
Are you concerned at all with your depth at wide receiver?
I'm not concerned with my depth at wide receiver.
Why haven't you addressed the position in the draft?
Why have I not addressed the position in the draft? At the time that we made our selections, we took the best player available for what we wanted to do. There were players available. We stuck with our board. As we looked at that board, when it was our turn to select, we took the name that was the best name for us at that time.
Why aren't you concerned with the depth of wide receiver?
I'm not concerned with the depth of wide receiver because we play games in September, and right now there's still plenty of opportunity for us to acquire players and to make things happen, whether it's trades, whether it's drafting someone the next day, whether it's players that get cut and we acquire somebody from the street. There's always opportunities to acquire players, and from our perspective, that's really what we focus on, is using every opportunity to acquire players that come available.
Are there any questions on the three players that we drafted today?
I'm Terrence West. You moved up to get him. He's playing in the subdivision. What did you really see other than the spectacular touchdowns that he's gotten?
We saw a young man that was strong. He was tough. He was physical, and he played like a Brown. He embodied those properties like we talked about before. Not to be a tall back. He's a shorter back, but he's a thick frame kid, over 225 pounds. He ran well. He caught the ball well. And he was able to demonstrate he could take contact and stay on his feet. He was also light-footed enough to make people miss. So there were plenty of good things to like about Terrence West.
Coach, how important was it for this team to get tougher? It seems like you're kind of going after those, and you always like hard-nosed, kind of nasty players. But that was that some emphasis here?
Yeah, we have a plan of how we're going to build this team. We're going to build it on character, and we're going to build it on toughness. And I think what we've done so far in this draft, I think, embodies that. And that was important to us, not just to talk about it. You're not going to stand in front of a room and say, hey, let's get tougher. What you do is you get tough people in that room. As we've said all along, that's football, tough sport for tough people. And we feel for us to compete in this division and in the NFL, that's the model that we're going to take.
I guess Kirksey is going both outside and inside. Where do you see him?
He has. That's the one thing we like about him is his position flexibility. That we're in the business of adding outstanding football players who fit the play like a Brown attributes. and we've always been one in our system to really cherish a player that can play multiple spots. He could play the Mike, play the Will, play outside on the edge if he had to. He has some strong safety-type attributes, which I think with today's linebacker is something that you're looking for given the athletic tight ends and the spread formations you're getting.
You mentioned staying on that subject at the combine, how important speed is to you, and sometimes you will take that over size. Is this a kid that kind of falls into that category, sideline to sideline type of guy?
I think that's fair to say that you're always looking to improve your speed defensively. I think it's certain positions that you're willing to sacrifice speed, because I also think that that adding strength and adding bulk is among the easier things to do. Once a player gets to this level, it's hard to get them significantly faster. So we would rather take the better athlete, the faster guy, and trust in our strength program that and what we do nutritionally and in the training room that we can add that.
Running back compliment Tate. I mean, their styles, if not way different, substantially enough different, where it's kind of two different looks if they want.
I think it will be a good mix, and I think it's very difficult in this league, especially in this division, and especially with our mindset, we're going to run the football to put all of that on one player. So I think when you have guys that can play off of each other and feed the hot hand and have a guy go for a series or two, then replace him. What's nice about both of these guys is that they can both catch the ball, so there's no issue with, hey, this guy cannot be on the field on third down.
Is it easy to project a running back from a small school to the NFL than in his other positions?
I wouldn't say it's easier, but I do think that when you watch the tape, there's several opportunities where you can watch a guy like Terrence West play against bigger competition. I think that helps the projection some. So when you get a guy that has opportunities, again, I'll give the easy example of Khalil Mack. How big of a prospect would Khalil Mack have been had he not played Ohio State and had that type of game in that situation? So I think that when you see guys have these opportunities against the bigger schools and they demonstrate that they belong in that environment, it does make a little bit of the projection easier.
Like, where do you see Bitonio fitting on the line, and how big of a need was it to address the line?
The great thing about Joel is that he has position versatility, that he's a guy that we think could play all five spots. We'll get him here and kind of see what the best spot is for him. It's likely at guard. But when you talk about play like a Brown and what we're looking for in an offensive lineman, I mean, he truly embodies that. We wanted to upgrade our toughness, our nastiness, and that's one of the things that jumps off the tape when he plays.
Fans or us to have a picture of West because we did the same play in Cup. Can you compare him to somebody? He plays like either loosely or closely?
Okay, that's interesting. I would tell you that the best attributes about this kid, like, again, he's a shorter, compact frame kid. So when you look at him, I don't want to say he's not quite as short as this is actually interesting because I actually piece guys together in my head. I don't just give you like a simple comparison.
He's pretty short.
Yeah, and I was going to say he's kind of like a Maurice Jones-Drew build, but he's actually a slightly taller kid, but he's got the same kind of thickish frame when you look at him, big legs, barrel-chested kind of kid. But he's a nifty-footed kid. And, again, this is going to – people will say, well, that seems like an egregious comparison. But he kind of has the Jerome Bettis nifty-footed big guy kind of feel to him when you watch him play.
It took into like the mid-40s at least, or almost 50 for a running back to go off the board today. Was that a statement on this running back class or the position as a whole and how it's being valued right now?
I actually think that's a really an interesting question, because I think when you look at that fact, a lot of running backs didn't go. And so after they started to go, I think people started to – there's always what we call runs. So they started to make a run on running backs. And then even the linebacker crew, there were no really linebackers selected after the first two as far as inside guys that played stacked and off the ball. So there was a wide gap, in, I guess, in the league's view of the top two guys in C.J. Mosley and Ryan Shazier that went early. And then you went through a lull of those guys not going. It could speak to the fact that people thought this draft was deeper in other areas, and they wanted to make sure they capitalized on those other players sooner. But eventually, like you saw here recently, there was a big push on both the linebackers and the running backs to try to catch those numbers up to some of the league averages that generally exist.
Ray, how did you try to get my
picks tomorrow? Was there any hesitance not to trade those picks just so you could have more tomorrow?
I don't think there's any hesitation. I think that at the end of the day, the object of the draft is to get good football players. In a general context, the closer you are to the front, the supposed better off you are of selecting the talent that's available. From our perspective, we took an opportunity to get a young man that we thought really was going to go soon. Getting back into the back end of the third round, we had an inkling that other teams were going to try to circle the wagons on him when they got to the compensatory picks. And so we felt like we needed to jump back in before he disappeared and we had a chance to select him at 106.
Randy, do you know when you'll have clarity on Josh Gordon's status?
Again, I don't know the answer to that question. So whenever we do have clarity, we will definitely express our sentiments then.
Going back to the Josh Gordon and Nate Burleson situation, how do you explain to people promoting Johnny Manziel and selling tickets, but at the same time, you may be concealing the fate of two important players, and people out there think that's unfair? How do you reconcile that, and what do you say to folks?
I would tell folks that until I have really something to tell them, there's nothing I can say. So the league is.
Can you tell us whether Nate Burleson has a broken arm? That seems like it's a pretty simple thing to do.
I would tell you that in the context of what we're doing, Nate Burleson is not going to miss any games for our football team. So does it really matter if he was here or he was missing or he decided not to come to the offseason program at all? So the two are somewhat, in my mind, really not that big a deal of where the guy's going to be in training camp. Is he going to be available to play and practice? And if those things are legitimate, then I don't know if they really really matter for us to really go into depth as to what the details are.
Will Nate Burleson be involved in the mandatory minicamp?
Again, we're not going to comment on players and what their statuses are.
Right? I mean, we're not trying to find out.
The league doesn't require us to discuss injuries at this point.
Vince Young signing or what you're going to do with Tyler Thigpen, and it's said on the field, we're going to meet about it, talk about it, then we'll decide, and by the time we sit down, the decision is made. I mean, it's just a question to get an answer, that's all.
We're talking about the injury thing. Again, when the league requires us to speak about injuries, we'll speak about injuries.
Same umbrella.
As to what though? I'm actually missing the point of is it, again, if it's about injuries, we really don't want to discuss injuries with any player. We don't want to discuss a player's health through the media. So I think it's a critical component not to discuss a player's health. You're fine.
Our boss was asking today if we thought of Browns fans that just bought tickets would sue because you sold these tickets on a false pretense. I'm just saying we're getting those kind of questions from our office. So
we also get questions from fans and people. Why does the national media find out? What's wrong with you idiots? When you ask the question and you don't get an answer, it's a little frustrating.
Okay, everybody, if we can.
This is just a discussion.
If we can have a discussion later. This is a press conference, so can we please just ask questions about the draft today? That would be great. Are there any further questions about the draft?
Mike, did you get to spend some time with Manziel today?
I did. Had an excellent visit. To me, it was more just more starting to get in depth with some of the football stuff. That we had a pretty good feel for what he knew football wise, but I think we were more interested in Johnny the person during that process. I didn't get much of a chance to speak football with him. The coaches did, and that was the brief amount of time I got with him today. We got into some of the stuff that he was taught, some of the stuff he enjoys doing football-wise.
Does it bother you then, right, that he's like the new face of your team, perhaps, and yet his picture is plastered there by TMZ, sucking on a bottle of champagne? That what you want the face of your team to look like?
Again, I think that anytime you have celebrity or you're popular, there's going to be people following you and giving you unwanted attention. I think there's definitely opportunities that the average person has had champagne or has drunk out of a bottle and they just don't get pictures taken of them. So the fact that he is that and he knows what his celebrity is or his star, and he's going to have to learn to understand that people are going to follow him and take pictures of him and And he'll get there. I mean, again, I said this the other day that he's had a steep learning curve with regards to how quickly popularity and fame can affect someone's life. And when a guy does things and those pictures surface, then it's a part of the process. But to say that he's completely the face of the franchise, I don't know if that's the case at this moment.
Approximately 90 selections between your picks tomorrow. Do you think you're done wheeling and dealing, or are you going to be anxious to get back in there at some point?
I think that assuming that someone would want to come and make a trade, we will definitely listen. And if those opportunities present themselves and there's a trade that makes sense for us, then we'll definitely look to potentially move a pick, move around, or do the things we need to do to acquire the players that are available.
And Todd, it is one where you can supposedly find starters, good starters, through three rounds. Is that true? And I'm asking about the linebacker. As high as he was picked in a draft that's supposed to be this deep, is he a guy who's got to be on the field for you in a rotation this year?
Our draft philosophy, as we've already stated, is to bring players in to compete. That we're not going to have players walk into jobs, but we are confident that he will come in and be able to compete and be in a position to potentially win a starting job. But we're also very confident in the linebackers that we have here. But just the tremendous value where we had him rated on the board and where we took him was an outstanding pick for us. We're looking forward to getting him here and seeing him go to work.
This is for both of you. Being the first draft that you're both in charge of and controlling your own destiny, what have these last 24 hours been like? Being upstairs, going through all the trades you've gone through, watching maybe players that you wanted come off the board and those type of things. What has this been like for both of you?
You and me first.
Go ahead.
Painful. When you watch guys that you really want go, it's not good to watch them go. I mean, there's a reason you do all the work, and there's a part of being a scout that you start to endear yourself to certain guys. You like certain players. You want certain guys. And sometimes you watch guys go, and you're like, oh, you get the devastated look and the feel of, I wanted that one. And but there's nothing you can do. There's a part of this process that all of the boards are different. Our board's completely different from everyone in the leagues, and so is everyone else's. To that end, I don't know where the other 32 teams have a specific player ranked. So as he comes up on our board and we think there's a value there, we take him. And that's the same with everyone else. They look at the guy and they look at their board, and as those players kind of fit their needs or their wants or desires, they make the selection. So oftentimes there are names that get called and you were hoping, man, I hope this guy lasts until this point, or I hope he makes it to this point in the draft. And there's just opportunities where other teams value that player higher than you did.
Player available, irrespective of position. Is there something you hope to address tomorrow?
Getting another good football player and making sure that he's the right type of guy for us. Again, the number one thing that I think we've been focused on is letting players come to us, staying focused on relying on what we know about each guy, relying on what we know about each team, working the phone so that we understand what's happening in and around the position that we may have to take a player, and then making those adjustments. Like I said previously with Terrence West, we didn't think he would make it to 106. We wanted the player, so we did what we had to do to make sure that we got the player. And so those are the things that I think really come into play, is that when there's an opportunity to make the selection or to put yourself in position to make the selection, then you take those liberties and those chances when they're available.
Acquire players still, a lot of different ways to acquire players. Is there any one position that's best to get out of the draft?
Is there any one best position to get out of the draft? I think, as like we said, we're going to stay focused on the board and let the players come to us as they come.
Yesterday you told Justin Gilbert on the call that you'd do backflips if you ended up with him. How much have you...
That wasn't literal, that was a mental backflip.
Understood, but how much have you been with Ray, is you're watching the boards and that, hey, I want this guy, I want this guy. What's that been like, and how much have you
I think the staff has done a good job, and I've tried to do it a little bit more subtle than the staff has as far as letting him know what positions that we liked. And Ray's been great that he took the input from the scouts and set the board, and then adjusted it based on what the coaches saw. And I think this was an important year for that to happen, given it the first year of new systems, where our idea of a Sam linebacker and a safety and an offensive guard and what those look like in our systems, there's some subtle differences between from team to team. And it was important for Ray to, and he was great with it, to listen and take in that input and adjust the grades accordingly. And I think he kind of leaned towards the coaches some in certain situations, knowing that we knew best what we were looking for system-wise. So if you had said to me that after 2 days of the draft we'd be sitting with the guys that we got and the value we got for those picks, I'd have done two metal backflips instead of one.
You sound like he's a real leader. Could you tell that when you talk to him? One of them called him the heart and soul of the defense, I think.
Those are the things we're looking for. I believe he was a two-year captain.
Two-year captain.
Those are the things that you're looking for, a guy that's had that success, the intangible stuff. And I know it's a cliche and we use it over and over again, but we look for those attributes. Passionate about football. He loves football. And that comes across very clearly when you talk to him. And that's one of the reasons why we were thrilled to turn the card in.
Got time for just a couple more.
Trey,
I'm sorry, go ahead.
When you were on the phone yesterday talking about Manziel, do you have an idea other teams are making a run at that, trading up as well, or are you kind of just doing what you think is right?
No, we manage that situation very carefully. And from the time we made our selection of Justin, we had our eyes on multiple players. Johnny was in a bundle of guys. And as we went through that process, we kind of, you know, team's needs, or you think you know a team's needs, and kind of where they may go or where they may strike. And so we worked through that process diligently of making phone calls, monitoring time on the clock, who could potentially trade. And it really came down to a final phone call with the Eagles to where we finally got that deal done. But, we monitored the situation from one point in the draft until we picked him.
Last question. Excuse me. Obviously, this season doesn't start to September, but do you feel like you have a number two receiver on your roster right now? Feels like you could be comfortable going into the season, somebody on your roster right now, playing the second wideout?
I do. I feel like there are multiple receivers that I think can have a chance to contribute to our team. And in that, I think that those guys that are here, as well as guys that may not be here, will have that chance. But, yes, I do feel like we have a guy on the roster that could definitely contribute in a starting capacity.